unfasten your chin strap and get ready for the snuff. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Will West, you and Brian Rice get that news talk stuff out of here. I'm not buying into that ever. Filling in never.
Hey, it wasn't politics. So we're
No, but it was just as polarizing.
Yes, it was.
It was religion.
And that's why we only talk about sports on the Eric Ainge
Talking
Show.
Sprats here.
Well, sports and pop culture, but
sports and fun, just mostly. Fun stuff in general. Okay, well then I'll dabble.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Yes.
Is a big night.
It is a big night on The Bachelor.
On ABC, starting at 8 o'clock.
Yep.
So, I listen, if you've never watched The Bachelor before...
Tonight's your night.
Tonight's your night, because there's a couple reasons. One, you're going to recognize somebody.
Yeah.
That's all I'm allowed to say, right? And,
no, because they've tweeted out, because it's going to be on it.
Thank you, Joel. You are the man, sir.
Our friends, our partner at Smoky Mountain Axe House.
An Axe Throw Monday!
They are featured tonight on The Bachelor, and they have a watch party going on there. You can check out their website for that. But
I wish I could have gone, man. I wanted to go.
Do you still want to go?
Are you going to go? Do you want to go tonight?
I can't go to the watch party.
But yeah, me either, man.
You should watch the show tonight. Now, if you want to turn it off after you have the Hannah Ann hometown.
She's from Powell, right?
Yeah.
Man.
So hey, if you want to turn
girl,
it off,
the girl, they tried to make her into like a villain in the first like episode, but she's such a sweetheart. It was impossible to do. She's from Powell, for crying out loud. I mean, come on, man.
She's not my pick to win, but good luck to her.
No,
if she does.
No, and the other one, because the other girl's from Auburn, Alabama, and they're both Southern and awesome. And
and then you got the crazy one, and then you got
the throw in.
Yeah. I like the throw in, though.
I don't like the throw in.
The throw in's kind of my favorite.
The throw in.
Regardless, we won't talk about it anymore, but we will talk about it tomorrow, because it's going to happen.
It's going to happen tonight. You're going to recognize somebody on the show.
If you listen to the
Eric Ainge Show, you're going to recognize somebody on tonight's Bachelor episode. Yeah. And it's going to be at the Smoky Mountain Axe House, which, you know, I don't blame Peter for wanting to impress.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
You know, but he must have forgot that Dad's from Powell.
Yeah.
That's God's country, son.
You better have the right message.
You don't just throw words around here unless you mean them.
Speaking of the right message, let's take a look at the game plan.
No quarterback goes into battle without a game plan. The Eric Ainge Show looks to the sideline to kick off the drive every day with the game plan. The game plan is laid out by 42nd Street. Visit 42SD.com today.
All right, so this weekend, not the best for Tennessee hoops teams. Men struggled to close against South Carolina. Thought they had that one.
I thought they did, too. Listen, South Carolina, Frank Martin is a very, very good basketball coach.
They have road wins over Virginia and another ACC team. I've slipped my mind. But
they are a good basketball team. They've gotten so much better. It's ridiculous. I mean, that team, watching them play versus the team that we barely beat here at home, it was an evenly officiated game, I thought.
Yeah, it was extremely poor on both sides.
Yeah, it was terrible for everybody. Yeah. Like, it's just not
good. Pat Adams was vintage Pat Adams.
Gosh, like, the aggressiveness with the blocks and charge calls and, like, the ability to just, I don't know, man. Officials are the worst, but
that,
you know what?
That one is the worst, yeah.
We didn't play good down the stretch, and we didn't deserve to win. I'll just say that. I was watching Auburn play this weekend, other college basketball teams, and the bottom line is, if you don't play good down the stretch, you don't deserve to win. And I said this isn't tooting my own horn. This is just like a statement that I knew was going to be true, and it has bared to be. This team is going to be in about every single game they play. They're going to get up to play the good teams, and they're going to be in it, and they're going to get... they're not good enough to just go out there and just hammer anybody at this point in their schedule. So for the last month and for the next couple weeks, they're going to be within in the last 5 minutes of the game. It's going to be a few possession game at most on either side.
Yeah.
So how do you close the last 5 minutes? All the other stuff is just, it's just not, it's nonsense. It's noise. It's going to happen. We're going to be in the game in the last 5 minutes. Everything Rick Barnes and this team needs to do. And this, that, listen, that's not good for a team that's young to for every game to be in the last 5 minutes. It's going to make them incredibly better next year. But how do you win in the last 5 minutes when you're up a possession or two or down a possession or two? That's going to be every single game. It's been every game, and it will continue to be every game.
Lady Vols had to learn that lesson yesterday as well. It was a good effort against a really good Texas A&M team. This ends a stretch against really good teams for Kelly Harper's teams.
Is the SEC in women's basketball like the best conference now?
Pac-12, SEC, it's right there.
Golly, man. It seems like every game.
South Carolina, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, all top 15 teams. You also had a loss to UConn in there. You also had a loss to LSU as a top 25 team, although LSU went on the road yesterday and got hammered by Auburn. So going on the road in this conference is tough. Texas A&M was able to do it yesterday. The good news for Tennessee is it lightens up a little bit for the rest of the year. You have probably a 50-50 game on the road at Arkansas coming up, and then you have home games against not good teams, Vanderbilt and Ole Miss, to close things out.
That's good.
You're going to have an opportunity to finish things out here. But so that all happened this weekend. Rob Manfred, I think, made the Astros thing worse.
We need to have a conversation. I was listening to the starting lineup on our way in. Sorry, I was distracted by Tom Brady on the TV. I was listening to the starting lineup on the way in here, and there were several people that called in confused as to why it's such a big deal that, you know, the whole goal of baseball and football is stealing signs. So we're going to use other sports references to give examples as to just how big of a deal this is. And I think if you're a football guy,
and why it goes beyond just, I stole signs.
No, yeah, I mean, I've told a lot of stories about stealing signs. The only contribution I made in the NFL was about stealing a sign. That's not true. The only in-game contribution.
Hot dogs and stealing signs.
Well, and I did a lot of stuff. I basically was on the team to be a coach. So, I mean, I did a lot of stuff off the field. But on the field, I had one major contribution, and it was stealing signs in the game, in the flow of the game, and that's part of it. We're going to give some different references. Barrett Salee kind of got me on this as to why, how to explain it to people, so it's a big deal. We'll do that, too.
After a second weekend, is the XFL worth it?
Just the way that my weekend went, I didn't have a chance to watch as much of it. I clicked it on. Here's the thing. I made a point to look yesterday to see that the first game was at 3 o'clock on ABC. I Googled it. I looked it up, and I put it on the TV, and I was watching it. I didn't have as much downtime to just sit around and watch it, just life, three kids.
You asked me to watch, and I didn't get a chance to watch as much as I wanted to, but I there is one flaw in it.
I would expect you to find the flaw. You're a flaw finder.
And it's not a deal breaker for me, but it is a problem that they're going to have to find a way to overcome. Andy Staples pointed out this, though. There is something from the XFL that should be implemented in every level of football, and I'm not talking about the replay. There's something that they do on the field that he feels should be implemented at every level of football, and I don't disagree after watching it play out. Tennessee's season has not gone the way they wanted to on the hardwood, but have you seen what's happened at Memphis?
Yikes.
A crushing blow dealt to them this weekend. That Miles Garrett doubled down on his allegations against Mason Rudolph.
Rudolph is threatening to now sue him.
Yep.
If he doesn't drop it.
Yep.
Again,
if Miles Garrett had not opened his mouth and just been reinstated, and just the next time he talks is at training camp, and you just say,
and he just says,
I don't want to talk about the past. Listen,
I'm not proud of it. It is what it is.
Just say, I'm not talking about the past.
Yeah.
That's been a free pass for people before.
Yeah, literally anything except doubling down on this. But you know what? People like Miles Garrett, people that are very proud people, ego-driven people,
they need a reason.
They can't drop things sometimes. Yeah. And the can't drop things guy ends up in much worse shape.
Every single time. We'll have the College Hoops Report with Joel Silverberg as well. That's the game plan. It's laid out for you by 42nd Street.
I want to do this. Just let me do this, okay?
Okay.
You're on TV tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Just in the
Brian's
background.
Brian's on The Bachelor, just everybody. Brian's on The Bachelor.
Just in the background. Hopefully my face made a couple of the shots.
We'll see. But you were there.
It was great. It was a lot of fun.
You and Tim Fry, the Axe Boss.
He is going to be in it a bunch.
Yeah. So cool, man.
He's not going to recognize himself because he's like,
because he's been going to Regen Complete, and he's like 30 pounds light, 40 pounds lighter.
He's been slimming down.
Yeah.
Looking good. Hey, man. 42nd Street, though, just down the street from the Axe House. Brings us the game plan every day.
And you don't have to be from Blount County to use 42nd Street. You don't have to be from East Tennessee. You can be anywhere and you can use them. Their whole business model is about your digital product, the digital form of your business. What do people see on the internet? What do people read on the internet? I mean, even if I get on here and tell you right now, you're a business owner in East Tennessee, or you manage a business, or you're in charge, or you have, you know, you're connected to the business owner and your job is to advise them in different ways. If you're hearing this right now and I say 42nd Street can help your digital brand, help you with your review system, get you your social media accounts, they can even post for you, they can do blog posts online. Their job is to make sure that your business is as well represented online as it possibly can be. You're still going to go to the website, 42sd.com. You're still going to check it out for yourself. You're still going to read some of their 100 five-star Google reviews that they have. Even if you hear me and you trust me, And you know I don't do business with people that aren't top shelf, top class. You're still going to go look at it for yourself. That's what people are doing when you have customers reviewing, you know, saying, hey, I use this company, Company X, and they did a great job for me. All that person that just got that referral is going to do is go to the internet and decide whether or not they want to take that review seriously, or they're going to look at your business and they're going to make up their mind in the first 5 to 10 seconds whether or not they're going to take that review, or, you know, that call to action to go use your company seriously or not. You got to make sure the digital brand is up to snuff. 42sd.com.
The Eric Haines Show rolls on next on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Welcome back to the Eric Haines Show on Sports Radio, WNML. Oh, man, that's old school right there. The Sports Animal, FM 99.1. So many different ways you can get us here on the Sports Animal. The Tennessee Volunteers came up short against the Gamecocks on the road this weekend. And the game comes down to Folky getting called for a charge when the game before it was decided by Folky taking a charge.
Yeah.
Game two, he gets called for one.
That was the biggest flop I've ever seen.
I didn't like the call at all. Listen, when you're coming to a jump stop, or you're establishing your pivot foot anyway, because you're spinning like Folky does, yeah, there's a little bit of contact. You drive to contact, and then as soon as you get it, that's when you make the spin move. But he didn't Vescovi arm around, wrap around. He didn't do anything like that. He literally was starting his spin move, and the guy went flying. You talk about a referee ready to make a charge call.
Yeah.
And then at first contact, I mean, he didn't even hesitate.
Yeah.
It was a terrible call. You know, I mean, it is what it is. It was a terrible call. There's not a lot you can do about it. But the team didn't play great. As it was.
Right.
You know, that's not the biggest takeaway from the game, but I just, you know, I thought it was a little frustrating when you get ready for another close bout game. And listen, every game, and I bet if we went back and looked, we had one game where who'd we blow out? We blew somebody out.
Arkansas. Yeah.
Okay. Arkansas is going to be your outlier, but we haven't gotten blown out by anybody in the last month.
Mississippi State
on the
road.
Was that like, that was like 12, right?
It was, 14. It ended up being 13, 86-73.
But that to my point, that doesn't count. You're right. Yeah. I mean, cause I'm saying two or three possessions. So that's more than that.
Yeah. The Kentucky game ended up being 13 as well, but
that game that was, it was in the closer. Last, in the last 5 minutes, it was closer than that.
It was
that.
Closer throughout, but.
Yeah, this team is going to be in close ball games.
69-68 win over Alabama, a 5-point loss to Texas A&M, a 6-point loss to Kansas. Tennessee blew out Ole Miss as well, 73-48.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
But
Those are easy, though. I mean, like, if we're going to win, if in the games, if we're not getting blown, if we're not blowing somebody out, odds are we're going to be in a close ball game. Yeah. And 90% of them have been. And this weekend was no different. I mean, the final score ends up being 63-61.
Unfortunately, you've got a chance at a couple of blowouts this week. I think Tennessee will be significantly better than Vanderbilt tomorrow night. And then Auburn, down at Auburn Saturday at noon, is not going to be pretty in my mind.
You say that, but Auburn's coming off a terrible loss this weekend.
It's true.
You know, it's like, are they going to take Tennessee lightly? Is a Bruce Pearl Auburn team?
No. No, they will never take.
For a home game in the jungle at Auburn, going to take Tennessee lightly? No.
Yeah.
So we're going to get their best effort, but their best effort, they're a team, you know, Auburn is, I think they've only got 3 losses on the year. They're a really good basketball team. They are a bad matchup for us, but our perimeter defending, our ability to defend the perimeter, like with Jordan Bowden, the way Vescovi started to play, I mean, we could give them fits with their guards. And their guards are really good.
22-3 overall, 9-3 in conference.
Yeah.
14-0 at home.
Yeah. I'm not saying I think we're going to go win the game. In fact, I would be shocked if we did find a way to go win the basketball game. But I will not be shocked if in the last 5 minutes, I mean, Auburn, if you're going to give them credit for anything, it's they have games that shouldn't be close that are close, that they end up going to overtime in. I mean, they've got like 3 or 4 overtime wins this year. Where, you know, and then they've got a bunch of close game wins
last
as well.
Their last 3 victories were all in overtime. 79-76 at Arkansas, 91-90 against LSU at home, and then 95-91 against Alabama at home. Then they go on the road to Columbia, Missouri, and it was 85-73, but it wasn't really even that close.
No, that's, and yeah, that's,
the con zone affected them.
It did. Really good defense and slowed the game down. I mean, it's not a good matchup for us down low. Austin Wiley is a beast. He's the best rebounder for Auburn that I think I've seen in college basketball in a long, long time. Our only hope is to get him in foul trouble. Kind of like as Ozumbuke with Kansas. And if you can get him on the bench, remember the plus-minus stat for Kansas when Ozumbuke was on the court? They were like plus a ton, and when he was off the court, we made a run every single time.
Yeah.
I could see that happening if you can get Wiley in foul trouble. You've got to block him out. You've got to stay. I mean, he doesn't have a great back-to-the-basket game. His game is offensive rebounding and other guys penetrating and him being right, you know, him moving appropriately, finding a way to get open and give the penetrator, the driver of the ball, an open lane to get an easy shot. It's his defense and his rebounding on both ends that makes that a really bad matchup for us. And he's not the only big guy they have. They have other big guys as well. But I think we can defend him on the perimeter. You know, the game, you know, that should be a close game. How do we handle it? How are we going to be in those last few minutes? Because I thought our guys in the South Carolina game this past Saturday, I thought they played tight at the end.
Yeah.
I thought some of the possessions we had, we didn't look like we just knew exactly. Like the really good teams, any team with a just dynamic player, everybody knows where the ball's going through.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, RIP Kobe, but every time 8-24 or whatever was on the court, in the crunch time, you know where the ball's going through. You know, when we had Chris Lofton, you knew where the ball was going through. You knew where it was, you know, and Fulke's kind of been that guy for us, honestly, at the end of games. We've tried to get the ball to him. Last year, it would have been Grant Williams. And if they totally denied him, then it would have been Admiral that got it. You know, it's, I don't know who on our team right now do you think should be that guy? Because Vescovi is getting better at creating for himself.
Yeah.
And on a high pick and roll, he can get to the rim or, you know, into the lane anyway.
Well, I think your problem is better. I don't have an instant answer for that. That's the problem with this season is,
and if
I can't,
it's game
I don't
by
go,
game, that's tough.
Yeah. Because Fulke's great, but does he create for himself? Well, not against every opponent. That's not his fault. But a big man's not going to create for himself against
a bigger man.
Right.
And he's made some tough shots, and he played pretty well.
I wanted the ball in his hands on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, he was 8 for 12 from the field, 9 for 14 from the free throw line. He had 25 points.
You got exactly what you wanted in the last minute of that game, and unfortunately, the call went against you.
A charge call counts as a turnover, correct?
It does.
Because I'm looking at Folke, and he had 6 turnovers in the game, and that's not good enough. Bowden only had 2. Viscovi had 4, but in 31 minutes, considering he had the ball in his hand and what he's being asked to do from a just administrator of the the orchestrator of the offense standpoint, and bringing the ball up against tough ball pressure every single possession.
Yeah,
that's not bad. You know, his assist to turnover ratio was 1-1. You'd like it to be better than that, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
I was glad to see our team only shot 14 threes. I mean, we were 4 for 14 from the three-point line. Bowden, again, was 0 for 3, you know. But James coming back, that was good. You know, he didn't play a ton. He only played 30 minutes in the game. And, you know, normally when he's back and healthy, that's more of a 35 to 40-minute effort for him. But he had 9 points. You know, he was 1 for 2 from the free-throw line. 2 for 3 from the 3-point line, 3 for 8 overall. He had 5 assists and 3 assists, 1 turnover. No, 5 assists and 1 turnover. So James played good. I mean, if James and Viscovi are back and he's healthy, which he looked healthy,
yeah,
and he can get back in the rhythm of things, that's going to be really, really good for Tennessee. Really good for Tennessee.
You know,
Pons had a good game. You know, 13 points. He was 6 for 10 from the field. You know, we were 20 for 47. We shot 43% from the field in the game. And again, Pons and Folke combined were 14 for 22 from the field. I'm gonna say it again. Folke and Pons, when they're, even if they're not playing great, we need to find more opportunities. If you're 14 for 22 combined in the game with those two guys, with that duo, they need 30 shots. They need more looks. You know, Bowden was 1 for 7. He hurt you this game offensively. Only had 5 points. Viscovi only had 7 points. He was 2 for 8, 2 for 5 from the 3-point line, 2 for 8 overall. I didn't think Viscovi was aggressive enough. It was almost like having James back, you know, kind of toned him down a little bit. But James has kind of proven he's more of a 3-point shooter than he is a penetrator driver to the basket.
Yeah, he's a true perimeter guard in my mind.
You know, 28 free throw attempts. When you go 17 for 28 from the free throw line, it's hard to argue that you should have won a game, right?
Yeah.
17 for 28 from the line. Okay, what does this team do moving forward, though? You got Vandy, and then you got Auburn, and then you got another stretch. You got another Kentucky, another Auburn. You got Florida coming up still. What does this team do from here on out?
I don't know. That's the question coming up. That and more hoops coming up as well. It's FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Happy President's Day to everybody out there. Hopefully you're listening to us while you're enjoying a day off. I know not everybody gets a day off here on President's Day, but a lot of people do. We're in here working.
We are. Nobody else in the buildings. Well, all of us on air are working. Nobody else in the building's working.
Well, Phil's not working today.
No, I had to fill in for Phil. It's fine. He was on a romantic getaway. It was fun. I expected more people to call in on my topic of worst Valentine's Days ever. Because I feel like there's a lot of funny stories on that, but nobody called. It's okay.
I think there's a horror movie or something called Valentine's Day. That was probably a pretty terrible experience.
Probably. Depends. Anyway, we're talking Sprots over here on the Sprots Animal.
More specifically, Tennessee basketball. You know, again, wrapping up the game this weekend, you lose 63-61. It's frustrating loss because, you know, you're tied at halftime. Well, down 1 is 29, Tennessee, South Carolina 30. And then you get outscored 33-32. I mean, it was a close ball game the entire game. They had a few, you know, a few things that they did better than us. South Carolina, anyway, that is. Their bench did better than we did. Full game box score. Second chance points. They had 12. We had 3. 12 second chance points to 3 second chance points. The stat line, honestly, is like dead even all the way through. Both teams shot low 40% from the field. Both teams shot right at 30% from the three-point line. Both teams shot right at 60% from the free throw line. We are 17 for 28. They were 19 for 32. You can't say too much about that. We had 6 more turnovers than they did. 20 turnovers to 14 turnovers. You know, and that's in a close ball game. That's often a stat that's going to come back and it's going to bite you in the butt. That, and they had some help from places that they're not used to getting it either. Their bench had 27 points. South Carolina's bench accounted for 27 points. Tennessee accounted for 11. And to be honest, that's more than we've been getting from our bench. You know, your player of the game is obviously John Fulkerson, 8 for 12 from the field. He had 25 points, 9 rebounds. That's pretty dang good. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But again, the turnovers, he had 6 turnovers, so as much as he helped you, he also made it tough for you to win the game. You know, we had 15 assists to their 6. You know, we passed the ball well. We, again, just didn't shoot the ball great, but we led the game. We were winning in the game. We held the lead for 24 minutes in the ball game. South Carolina only played with a lead for 5.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And when that happens, even if it's a close ball game, that's frustrating to lose a game like that where you're the team that's they score, they make a run, you answer, you make a run, close ball game. But all the games moving forward are going to be close. A lot of good lessons to learn from this game if you're Tennessee basketball, because that's what it's all about for Rick Barnes right now. You know, for Rick Barnes, he gets basically the entire squad back. And you don't have Bowden next year, but you have Josiah Jordan James, who I think is just as good of a perimeter defender,
yeah,
as Bowden. So you replace that well, you know, and he's better offensively. He's more efficient, I should say, offensively anyway. Bowden has games where he is pretty dynamic offensively. He wasn't this past Saturday. Vandy messed around and beat LSU.
Yeah.
So taking Vandy lightly,
it's not a good. We can take it lightly. You and I can't.
Yeah, we're not playing or coaching in the basketball.
Yeah, game. I guarantee. As I let Rick Barnes into the building yesterday because he came to the back door before the Lady Vols game, he was headed to the office to work yesterday to make sure that they weren't going to take Vandy lightly. Also, how did nobody else in the back hall hear Rick Barnes knocking on the door? How does Rick Barnes not have a key to that door? Regardless, he got in and got to work
on it. That's a big, maybe he forgot it. That's a big, big weekend for you. You're going to be on The Bachelor tonight. You let Rick Barnes in the building.
It was all right.
And some of that Brian Rice luck, some of that Brian Rice magic.
The team needs
some of that because
if I can find a way to monetize it, then we'd have something.
They're gonna need to play a good basketball game against Vanderbilt. It's Tennessee Vandy. It's a game that means everything. Didn't we blow them out the first time?
Yes.
You blew them out the first time. They lost their athletic director. They got their first SEC win.
66-45 was the final score in Memorial back on January 18th.
Yeah, I remember that. It's a home game for us.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, so that's important. You know, you need it. What time is the game at? Do you know?
6:30.
Oh, nice.
6:30 tomorrow night. Coverage will begin at 6. I will give you a free, it is always free here on the Eric Haines Show, but a full preview of it tomorrow on the show as well. We'll come back with our performer of the weekend next. The Eric Haines Show, FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Welcome back into the Eric Haines Show on The Sports Animal. 656-9900. If you or anyone wants to give us a call, go ahead. You can join us. Brian Rice and I will be taking you on this President's Day to noon. And then Josh and Heather with Sports 180 will be coming up after that. Hope everyone had a good Valentine's weekend. Now you got the kids home today. At least it's nice outside.
That's right.
Amanda can send the kids out there. That's always
That's always, it's tough to have a good performance at the house when the kids are inside, constantly destroying that. You'll see that someday. Kids cooped up inside, bad. Outside, accessible, good. You could break every day down to that. But this weekend was a little different. It's time for our Performance of the Weekend, Brian. That's brought to you by Solid Ground Security Specialties, SGSSProtection.com. Steadfast and proactively protecting you. And they do that by giving you a risk assessment and an emergency plan for your home or business. If you have a family in a home, then you should have a risk assessment and an emergency plan done. They go through. It's very thorough. They give you all the information. Just this past week, I think it was this past weekend, there was that girl in South Carolina, just six-year-old, I think, playing outside, playing in front of her yard, just hanging out. And the next thing you know, she's gone. You know, it's just, you can't take protecting your loved ones or your employees if you own a business or anything like that too serious. It's impossible to take it too serious.
Yeah.
SGSSProtection.com. Brian, why don't you go first?
I will go first. Mine is going to be Amanda Ayala, Tennessee softball right fielder. She had a great weekend. She is a junior.
Okay.
She had a great weekend this weekend.
What'd she do?
In Puerto Vallarta. So far this year, she's hitting .458 with 8 runs batted in, 2 doubles, a home run. She has been very solid for Tennessee and was a key to their wins in the Puerto Vallarta tournament this past weekend. So Amanda Ayala, Performer of the Weekend.
It's so important to build a sustainable product that your players that are there for years at a time develop themselves each year to where it's like you can't just look at the you're like, okay, we got Amanda Ayala back from last year.
Yeah.
Therefore, her production, we're getting her production from last year. If you're developing people like Ralph and Karen do or Rick does, you know, you end up getting guys that have been gals that have been on campus and you've seen them and you think you know their ceiling, and then boom, they do stuff like this. Or like mine, who's even though it's coming in a loss, John Fulkerson has done his very best to put this team on his back on both ends of the court from an effort standpoint. He's playing against bigger, stronger guys, and he's playing 30-plus minutes every single game. And then he dropped 25 on Saturday against South Carolina and 9 boards. You know, for all intents and purposes, he basically had a double-double. 8 for 12 from the field. I don't think anybody has a better field goal percentage than Folky. Like, period. I think he's got to be right there at the top of that. For someone who plays as much as he does and gets as many looks as he does, he's starting to learn how to create for himself. But just like you know, your softball player, Amanda Ayala, you're not just getting the person back and their production from last year. Because if all you got was Folky from last year, this team hasn't won anything.
Yeah.
You know, so it's fun to watch those people that have been there, been on campus, and Renia Davis, good example of that.
Yeah, with the Lady Vols, to get better.
You know, you didn't get her. You got her developed in 1 year under Kelly Harper, and then look what she's been able to do this year. So it's been fun watching I know the sports aren't all what we thought they would be. Basketball, anyway, baseball and softball just getting started, and we'll talk about them later. But it's important. When you have a sport like football, really all of them now, because we're never going to be a one and done kind of basketball program. It's so important that the older veteran players get better year to year. I mean, look at Folky and Pons this year. I mean, Folky went from a guy that we didn't even know, you know, could I didn't even know it was possible for him to do what he's doing this year. To look in, like, if he has another year like this next year, God forbid, gets a lot significantly better, you might mess around and see Folky in a G League team, or something crazy like that.
He's got another year after this one to develop
exactly, and he's definitely worked himself into. I think projecting him to European professional basketball is for sure possible. I mean, Folky by the end of next year is going to have a legitimate opportunity to make make a good living playing hoops. After his first 2 years on campus, I wouldn't have believed you if you'd have said that was after his junior year, a very, very much a realistic possibility, even if he were to go right now, you know, at the end of this year, he could play overseas for sure. You know, you got to develop your players so they get better and better and better. And then when you have, then when you get freshmen, and if they're, if your program's in a place where they're going to play like men's basketball, you better hope that you recruited the kind of person that you want. Like Vescovi and James, say what you want about what we thought their abilities were. What, you know, one's a five-star McDonald's All-American, but he's yet still more of a project kind of player. They both have been asked to do things that they weren't ready to do. And they're freshmen, and they have responded so well. And you've watched their games get consistently better as the year has gone. What could those two guys look like under an entire offseason under Rick Barnes and this staff? You know, I mean, it's impressive. You got to be able to, you got to be, you know, and I don't know that I think we have some really good assistant coaches. You know, do we have a Steve Forbes on the team right now under Rick Barnes? Maybe, you know, we'll see, but I think that there's some really good assistants. You know, we always give Coach G with the strength program and Rick Barnes all the credit. It's like G makes them tough, G makes them strong and conditions them properly, and then Rick Barnes is the shot doctor and he gets all the credit for development. But the actual players themselves and the assistant coaches on this staff deserve a lot of credit for what they've been able to do. If you make the same kind of progress for year to year with individuals on our basketball team, And then you look at the incoming players and you go, regardless of how good they are the day they get here, look how much better Vescovi and James, looking at the freshmen, were able to get over the course of a year. Who knows where they even finish by the end of the year. If you know the 2 5-star freshmen you're bringing in are going to develop at that same pace, God forbid they come in at a more ready level to play. Because I know Vescovi's doing a pretty good job of orchestrating the offense and bringing the ball up and doing all that. I maintain, especially when you watch him offensively, he's a two guard. He's a two. He's a catch and shoot guy. And when you're the point guard, you're rarely ever catch and shoot. He's learning how to bring the ball up. And even then he plays so many minutes and Rick Barnes has such high expectations of them defensively that, you know, towards the end of the game, you know, he's getting called for the wraparound because he's bringing the ball up like Magic Johnson. He's just alternating arms and putting his backside into the defender. And then occasionally, but his crossover's gotten cleaner. The dribbling with his right hand has gotten better. But he's a two guard that's having to play SEC point guard before he's ready to maybe even be on the court, period. I've been incredibly impressed with him and what he's been able to do. James, if he's healthy, is a 5-star athlete and a 5-star defender. I think he shoots the ball really well from three. If he develops any kind of a post-up, turnaround, attack the basket and really know what to do when you attack the rim, if he can develop that part of his game, then he can play from the three-point line to the rim. And if he can do that with as good as he is as a defender, he's an NBA prospect immediately.
Yeah.
You look at what Pons is doing. I mean, you can go right on down the list. Every single player, you know, and that's, I don't understand the hate for Rick Barnes, because when you look at each individual player, they're all significantly better right now than they were last year. And the freshmen are, you know, playing out of position, or even if they played point guard in their high school AAU stuff, I was the point guard on my high school basketball team. Everyone who can shoot the ball and you want the ball in their hand, they're always the point guard.
Yeah.
In high school. That doesn't mean they project.
It's like, you know, how many guys play quarterback in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, we do had not project
play three receivers that are their quarterbacks just in like one class. I mean, doesn't mean that that's what he is, and he's doing it out of position. It's impressive.
Coming up at hour number two of the Eric Haines Show, we'll take a look at a little bit of baseball, both Tennessee wise and Rob Manfred opened his big fat mouth and it did not go well.
Gosh, I just don't like him. I was looking at him.
He hates baseball. It's clear. He hates baseball. More on that coming up. The Eric Haines Show.
He's in charge of it.
99.1, the sports animal.